Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for our study today is recorded in Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 32. Jesus is speaking to his disciples as he sends them out, and he said, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." This is the word of the Lord. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Those are really strong words, aren't they? It sounds like Jesus is saying that he is coming spoiling for a fight, and if we are going to follow him, that you and I should be spoiling for a fight. And sad to say, many people who are not Christians, and maybe there's some of you here today, who say, you know, that's the way Christians are. They're always spoiling for a fight. They want to get into an argument. But is that what Jesus was really saying? That you and I should always be ready to do battle, to quarrel and fight with people? Is that what Jesus' ministry is all about? I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Well, to understand those words of our Savior, it's helpful to see the context. The context is Jesus has selected 12 men to be his disciples, his apostles. And he sends them out on their first missionary journey. And he has given them incredible responsibility and privilege. He said, "Preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, even raise the dead." Wow. You would think with that commission that everything would just go great for the apostles as they carry out this mission. But Jesus warns them that's not going to be the case. In Matthew chapter 10, he warns them that they will be arrested, that they will be flogged, that they will be hated, that people will call them Satan himself, and some of them will be put to death. Now, Jesus knows that would be an incredibly heavy burden on their hearts. And so he gives them some great promises. He says, you know, don't worry about what to say. It won't be you speaking, but the Holy Spirit speaking. He who is faithful unto the end will receive the crown of life. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. But Jesus also recognizes that as this weight pressed down on the apostles, and as this kind of opposition presses down on our hearts as we carry out the mission that Jesus has given us, he recognizes that heart that's being pressed down, it's really split in two. In our membership Bible study, I always talk about how we are a split personality. Every person has a sinful nature, a part that is hostile to God, that's just born into us. But when the Holy Spirit brings us to faith in Jesus as our Savior, God creates a new self within us. And so, as Jesus prepares his apostles for this mission, he speaks to both halves of the heart. He says, if you disown me before people, if the pressures that you experience become so great that you think, I'm going to take the easy way out. I am just not going to talk about Jesus anymore. I'm not going to live for him. If you disown me, Jesus said, I will disown you. What a powerful message, a warning to that sinful nature within us. And then he speaks a word of promise that builds up the new self within us. But if you acknowledge me before others, now, he doesn't say, if you do everything right, if you're a perfect missionary in every way, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, if you are perfect, I will acknowledge you. He says, if you acknowledge me, if you confess me as the Son of God and your Savior, don't be afraid. I'll never disown you. I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. I will claim you as my own. Sinful and defective though you may be, I claim you as my own. And then Jesus speaks those unusual words. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. He continues to prepare his disciples and us for a difficult mission. If the apostles are faithful to their calling, there will be people who oppose them. And if you and I are faithful to our calling, if we make our mission here at St. Paul's, our own personal mission, that by every possible means, we bring every person that we have some influence over closer to Christ. If we take that mission and make it our own, you and I are going to face opposition. There is going to be a sword against us. No, we're not spoiling for a fight, but it's just going to come. And so taking the words of Peter in the Transfiguration Gospel for today, let's just celebrate the fact that we are here today to prepare for the opposition that is going to rest heavy on our hearts. First of all, it's good to be here where we find peace. You know, I can understand why the apostle Peter said, oh, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let's just stay here. They've been walking with Jesus for a couple of years already. And quite often they have seen Jesus act as God. He says to the storm, be quiet, be still, and it happens. It's Peter, James, and John that are there in the little girl's bedroom, that 12-year-old, where Jesus says, Talitha kum, get up. And she rises from the dead. Peter has seen that Jesus is more than just a man. But here on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's like Jesus takes off the mask and lets his glory as God, that he's always had, but most of the time it's hidden. He lets that glory of God shine out for Peter, James, and John to see. This was really important for them to see at this point. Just like this is the last Sunday before we enter into Lent and we kind of walk with our Savior into the darkness of Lent, So the Transfiguration was like the last Sunday before walking into the darkness of Lent for the apostles. After the Transfiguration, it says in Luke's gospel that Jesus resolutely set his face to go up to Jerusalem. The apostles recognized from now on, Jesus has this idea in mind, and over again along the way, he tells them plainly, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And it's important for them that they see that the one who is going to suffer and die for them is God himself. That this wasn't something foisted upon him, that this was an offering that God willingly gave for them. It is good for us to be here. It was good for Peter to be there. It is good for us to be here, where we truly see God's glory and our own. That's what lifts up and enlarges our hearts in spite of the opposition. You know, Wednesday was a beautiful day, wasn't it? Anybody go for a walk on Wednesday? What just a gorgeous day. What a great day to see the glory of God outside, right? And you can see glorious things about God outside. You can see that there must have been this incredible designer of everything that you see in nature. You can see God's power. But where you really see God's glory is in his grace. You see, and that only happens here. Here in public worship and here in our private worship at home. Because here we see this incredible glory of God, that this designer of the world, the one who created all things, became a human being. That it was God who walked to the cross, not just for the apostles, but for us. It's good for us to be here, to see again the baptismal font and be reminded that our sins have been washed away. It's good for us to be here, to be able to kneel before God and just say, God, it has been a tough last couple of weeks, and I have failed you over and over again, and to hear God say to us, you are my dear son, you are my dear daughter, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. You see, Jesus' glory is our glory. Because God died in our place, you and I will live forever. What God the Father said to Jesus, God the Father says to each of us. It is good for us to be here, where we can enjoy peace and see God's glory in Christ and our glory in him. I'd love it if church just lasted forever. No, I'll be honest, I didn't always feel that way. For the kids who are present here, you know, if you are one of those people who, when the pastor says amen, and you go, it's almost over, I was one of those kids too. But now in so many ways, I just don't want church to end. Because I know that as soon as I walk out that door, I'm going to have a hard time finding peace. In fact, some of you will lose that peace as soon as you get into the car and you start cursing and swearing about those crazy drivers. Oh, that are in our parking lot, that are your brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And you lose that peace. You know, isn't it great to be here? But we can't stay here just like Peter couldn't stay up on the mountain. And there's a hymn that came to my mind. It's amazing. I don't think I had sung this hymn in public worship for over two decades, but it came to my mind. And the verses beautifully summarize the points that I'd like to bring home to us today. So I'd invite you to join with me in singing this hymn a cappella. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? You and I have to go out, right? We can't stay here, but at least here we also see the sword that we face. Because then Jesus goes on and says that our enemies very often will be people who are close to us, that he came to divide family members as you and I carry out our ministry. There's going to be opposition. Even when we say to somebody that you're not good enough, that none of us are, there are people who will resent that and say, wait a second, I'm a good person. You and I are going to face opposition, the sword. And what happens when you and I face that opposition? Very often we lose the very thing that we need to carry out our ministry. How is it that we bring the people in our area of influence closer to Christ? Is it that we force Jesus into every conversation? No. It's that we live Jesus, right? That the fruit of the Spirit is obvious in our lives when love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are just a part of our lives. People will ask for the reason for the hope that we have. But when things don't go the way we expect, when the gospel doesn't have one great victory after another, it can just press us down. And when we feel that pressure, that defeat, the very things that God could use to bring others closer to Christ very often get squeezed right out of our hearts, right? And that sinful nature grows within our hearts, and we're filled instead with bitterness and anger and selfishness. So it's good for us to be here, to be warned of the sword, the opposition that the gospel will face, but also to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What better time of the season, of the year there is for us as Lutherans than the next 6 weeks that we're entering into? Lent is the greatest time of the church year, as we get to set aside more time to think about what our Savior did for us, to see his hidden glory. In fact, that's what we're going to be talking about on the Wednesday evenings. We're going to see Jesus' glory not revealed like on Mount of Transfiguration, but his hidden glory as he fulfills the promises and he carries out our salvation. And Lent is a great time to say, okay, I'm going to give something up. Well, you can give up chocolate or jelly beans if you want, but I would encourage you to think in terms of, let's give up some time, not just for more public worship, but maybe for some private worship. This Lent, I'm going to read through again a book that we bought a number of copies, and they're out in the Welcome Center, called The Theology of the Cross. It's by Dan Deutschlander. Will probably become a Lutheran classic. 5 pages a day, I'll get through it in Lent. In fact, our midweek sermon series comes from this book, The Hidden Glory. I'd encourage you to stop and pick one up. Because the more you and I try to carry out the mission that Jesus has given to us, the more we're going to feel that pressure, and the more the devil is going to use that pressure to press out the very thing that could be used by Christ to draw people closer to us. You and I need to take the sword of the Spirit up. And what better time to do that than this Lenten season? And that's what the next two verses of the hymn bring out to us. Let's sing it together. Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Sure. And finally, this is the place where we find real life. It is good for us to be here. Again, as Jesus closes this section of his sermon to the apostles, he speaks to that sinful nature within them, and he warns them, whoever finds their life will lose it. If our life, our goal is all about what we can accomplish in this life, the accumulation of things for this life, even if it's all about making a name for ourselves as St. Paul's, or as a member of St. Paul's, or as a pastor of St. Paul's, if that's what it's all about, we've got all that we're going to get. And someday we're going to see that the life that Jesus wanted us to live, to enjoy, we've lost it. But then Jesus speaks to the new self and says, whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. As we approach our lives with this thought that, Lord, it's not about me, it's only about you. It's not about my kingdom, it's about yours. It's not about my will, it's your will. Whoever finds his life in that, by losing his life, then you find it. That's when you begin to see that those things that press down on us, they don't rob us of life. They're just a reminder that, yep, in this world we are going to have trouble. But as the epistle lesson brought out, we've overcome the world. Every one of us who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, who went to Calvary's cross to die for us, every one of us who believes that Jesus is that Son of God and our Savior, we have overcome the world. And in spite of the opposition, in spite of the defeats, in spite of the personal defeats, you and I have found life. And that someday we're going to see that even death is eclipsed. This is where we find life. It's good for us to be here. As the last two verses bring out, let's sing it together.
Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They see the triumph from afar by faith's discerning eye. When that illustrious day shall rise and all thy army shine in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine.
You know, there were Christians who were willing to say, I recognize that Jesus has not come to bring peace but a sword. They were willing to lay down their lives so that they might find true life. And you and I are beneficiaries of that. So often, we don't even realize all the difference that Christians have made in the past when they believed the Savior's words and said, I have not come to bring peace but a sword. They were willing to suffer persecution so that the gospel could be proclaimed. And in a moment, we're going to confess the Nicene Creed. That Nicene Creed, it cost people their lives, but they were willing to give up their life to find life. They were willing to give up their life that we might find life in the Son of God who died for us. Let's honor their memory by joining them in confessing our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. Please stand. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.